Hey, this is Kaylee Moore.
And this is Paul Jarvis.
Welcome to the Creative Class Podcast.
A podcast for freelancers.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Check out Zoho Social, the all-in-one social media management platform for freelancers.
Save time scheduling your content and reach the right audience at the best time. Zoho Social is from Zoho.com. A suite of more than 45 products trusted by more than 35 million users.
There's an exclusive 60-day free trial offer for Creative Class listeners. Sign up today on GoSohoSocial.com. So what in the world are you supposed to do with profits when you have extra monies from your freelancing? A lot of people who freelance, I think, are like, oh, God, I can't wait till I'm at that point. But some people are also in that position and they have this extra money that they're trying to figure out what they're supposed to do with. So let's talk about what you and I have learned and maybe give people some ideas on how they can invest back in their businesses and help it grow even more.
Yeah, I think this is a fun topic. And I think that, like you said, if you're not at a point where you have more profits than you know what to do with, that's fine. Like, I didn't start out there. Neither did you, I'm sure.
Mm-mm.
So it's definitely something that can happen over time. But I do think this is one of those things, like, I don't think many freelancers come at it from like, oh, I have an MBA from Harvard Business School. And like, I know exactly how capitalism works and how business in that regard works. I think most of us just start because we want to work for ourselves and we're good at writing or design or programming or coaching or something like that. So I think talking about the businessy things is really important. And I think that it is a business still. So I think when you have profits, there's a lot of different things that you can do. And I think it's important to think about that because otherwise, like, I really pay attention to the money that I'm making and the money that I'm spending in my business because I want to make sure that I'm optimizing both the money coming in and the money going out. So some of the things that I guess we can do with our profits, where do you want to start with this?
Let's talk about software. I think that's kind of a logical starting place because that's oftentimes one of the first places people look when they're looking to optimize. What tools or what things can I integrate with my business to make me more efficient and to save me time and to make me look more professional, things like that.
Yeah. And I think that I think there's any way around using software in any business at this point. We are all the internet at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, at least for myself, a lot of people are surprised how little software I pay for.
Same.
Like in the Chimp Essentials course I teach, everybody talks about like CRMs. And it's like, I'm not fancy enough or smart enough to know how to use a CRM. I've tried to use a CRM with a couple clients or even with some friends like Asana or that kind of thing. And it's like, I don't understand how this works. Whereas for me, I'll use like Google Docs. Like, I basically live in Google Docs. I think as far as software that I pay for, I think MailChimp is the biggest expense I have because most of my revenue is generated from my newsletter. So paying a couple hundred bucks a month for that really makes sense. Paying for a word processor when Google Docs works, paying for a CRM when I don't need it. When I was keeping track of client work, I would just use spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sounds super silly, but like, I could keep track of things. I've always wanted to keep a very simple, minimal business that I've always tried to keep things as easy as possible. And plus, I found I tried to use Basecamp for a while with my clients, and a lot of them didn't know how Basecamp works. So I'd have to spend more time showing them how Basecamp worked.
Mm.
And then I'm like, why aren't we just doing the project? And I mean, Basecamp works for so many different other things, but for the type of clients that I had that had never used Basecamp, the projects ended up taking longer trying to get them to use more software. So I try to use as little software as possible. What about you?
I'm pretty much the same. And that purely is probably because I'm super cheap. Like, I use the free version of a few different software tools. I use Wave. I use Zoho for my email. I also use MailChimp. A lot of these are just like the free version is perfect for what I'm trying to accomplish. And so I think for me, when it comes to software, I always have to ask kind of what you talked about. Like, is it going to make my business more efficient? Is it actually going to save me time in the long run? Or is it going to make things more complex and complicated for me and for my clients to figure out? If the answer is yes, then it's not a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things that I have instead when I have profits, which I have had for the past couple of years now, is thinking about other ways I can invest in the business. So whether it's courses or maybe working with a coach or going to a conference that would make me better as a business person or as a specialist working within my niche, those are all things that I have found to be particularly helpful too. Now, I'm not a huge conference person, but I am learning about myself that I do well when I get face-to-face time to talk to people and have coffee. And sometimes conferences, when a bunch of people are in the same place at once, is a nice way to tackle that. So while I don't always go to all of the sessions at a conference, I really like getting to meet up with people afterwards or sit at a lunch table with them, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the stuff of nightmares for me. But I do think that when there are profits in your business, when you freelance, investing in yourself makes a whole lot of sense. So I think one way is definitely what you were talking about. Maybe it's going to conferences or hiring a coach or taking courses like Creative Class, which is the best. Or you're like, that is so subtle.
So subtle.
Super subtle. But some of the other ways to invest in yourself is, and we talked about this in an episode on the topic of investing, where you can have like a low-cost index fund, basically. Mm-hmm. But like, if I think about this in my brain, if the index fund pays off at about 4%, lately it's been like 9 or 10%, which is crazy, but I don't want to think about that. I just still in my head would rather think it's more like 4%, because it very well could be or be less at some point. But the other way that I invest in myself is if I have extra profit. That's why I started making products, because I'm like, some of the money I want to invest into myself to see if I can make something that can pay off higher than my savings account, my index funds can pay off for me in the future. Like, what if I build a product that turns into a business that generates like 20% money growth year over year, or 30% or higher than that? And it's definitely a risk, but I think that when you do have some profits, that's really the best time to start thinking about products as a freelancer, as when you have that extra money to invest in yourself, in your ideas, because it's kind of what we're doing as freelancers anyways, but it can be taking it to another level. If you do that with some of it, I don't recommend putting all of it. Like, I see people on Shark Tank and stuff, like they invested all the money they have into their business and they spent like hundreds of thousands of dollars over like 4 years building a prototype, and then it like completely fails on Shark Tank, or like Mark Cuban just like goes off on them for some reason. So I think that there's definitely a limit to how much you should invest in yourself. It shouldn't be all of your money all the time. But I do think you're worth it, like listener of the show, to sometimes invest in yourself if you do have profits.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is you have to determine what different tasks are worth to you. So is it better or cheaper or less stressful to do something yourself versus pay someone to take care of it for you? And that doesn't always even mean stuff within your business. I mean, I think it makes sense to get help with taxes, with accounting, if you're not great with numbers like Paul and I. I think that that makes a lot of sense and that alleviates a lot of stress. But even if something as simple as like getting someone to clean your house, if you would rather have more hours in the day to focus on project work and not be worrying about doing your laundry or dusting your ceiling fans, then that makes a lot of sense. There's a huge value in there for that. And so again, it's like thinking about what is the best use of your time and how can you really maximize your earning potential in that way. In a way, that's investing in yourself just kind of in a roundabout way.
Yeah, like it makes sense to figure out where your time and money is best served. Like for me, we had house cleaning help when we lived in a city, like where we live now. There's nobody that does that here. But when we lived in the city, so neurotic, like I would have to pre-clean before the cleaner came in. I'm like, this isn't a good use of my time. But paying somebody now to help do outreach for me for interviews and that stuff when I have a book coming out, like that, it makes sense to take that off of my plate. Because one, I don't really like doing it. Two, I can pay somebody a reasonable fee to do that for me. And three, I can focus more on the writing of the book. And since the book generates money for me, I'm gladly paying for some of those extra things. So yeah, like you said, it can be either work, or if you're not neurotic like me, who has to clean before the cleaner comes in, then it could be things like that that just help with day-to-day stuff so you can just get more done and be less stressed.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things to be mindful of as you look into these different things that you could outsource or optimize, whatever you want to call it, is need versus want. And I think that that's something that's just responsible to do across the board anytime, even if you have oodles of profits or your profit margin is really slim. I think you have to ask the question, do I really need this right now? And is it going to help me in the long run? So that'll help you better prioritize what you spend on, and it'll help you get the biggest impact out of what you do decide to buy. But really just kind of taking an honest look at, do I need this brand new cell phone? Or do I need this new computer every single year? Do I need the cutting edge technology to do what I'm going to do as a freelancer? Now, in most cases, I would say the answer is probably no.
Yes.
But it's a question that you have to ask, and you have to really think through and maybe even make a pros and cons list.
How do you manage social media without it taking up all your time? You're creating, you're curating, you're sharing great content on social media.
But how do you get the attention and reach your content deserves and engage your audience across multiple channels?
Try Zoho Social, the all-in-one social media management platform for freelancers.
Save time scheduling your content and reach the right audience at the best time. Zoho Social is from Zoho.com, a suite of more than 45 products trusted by more than 35 million users.
There's an exclusive 60-day free trial for Creative Class listeners, so sign up today at GoZohoSocial.com. I don't think anybody really would be a better freelancer if they had like the latest MacBook Pro.
Right.
I think you probably need some computer. I don't think it has to be, one, it doesn't have to be a new one. Two, it doesn't have to be the latest one. I probably upgrade my computer every 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Phones, probably a little bit more, but I hate it because I want my phones to last longer. Like, I still have an iPhone 6. I still don't want to replace it. It barely works. It only holds a charge for about 30 or 40 minutes. So it has to be plugged in either at home or in my car.
Ugh.
And it just drops calls and turns on and off whenever it wants. I'm like, one, I don't make lots of phone calls. Two, it still kind of works. So I don't really want to replace it. I don't even know how long ago the 6 came out, but I'm like, it hasn't been long enough. And now, like, the latest Apple event for this year for phones, like, the phones are all over $1,000.
Yeah.
Like, they're so expensive. And it's like, I don't need a phone that does crazy photos or like FaceTime with 30 people. I don't know 30 people.
Me either.
I always think as well, like, the more I spend, the more I have to make to keep the same amount of money. If I can spend less and make the same amount of money, then I make more money. So I'm always like, what can I spend the least amount of money on to maximize the net profits from the gross amount that I took in? Because people are always talking about like, oh, I gross this much, or my company grosses this much. I'm like, that doesn't matter. That's like a vanity metric.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have to spend almost as much as you make, then you technically really didn't make very much money. What matters is the net, what you have left after you paid for taxes, paid off debts, paid for expenses, bought the new MacBook touch bar thingamajiggy.
Yeah. It's so true. Even just little thing, even if it's not a major investment that you're considering, even if you're just like, oh, I really want this new pair of shoes, or I really want this expensive face cream.
I want like, all the expensive things add face creams. Up.
All those things add up, though. And they all eat away at what you're trying to do. And if you want to be somewhere that's very different from where you are 5 years from now, 10 years from now, those little decisions are what eventually contribute to whether or not you can accomplish that goal. And even though it seems kind of trivial to like, oh, I don't want to second guess every single purchase I make, if you are a freelancer, it matters. And like you said, we have a whole episode where we talk about saving and investing and our approaches to that. But I think in short, that kind of brings up the topic of pre enough or post enough and getting to that place of, this is what I'm trying to do. And can I get there? And what do I need to do to accomplish that?
Yeah, exactly. And I think we have a whole episode coming up in the season about enough. But I think for this specific episode, I think it's important to kind of think about that. Like, what is enough? Even in terms of if your business is separate from you personally, which I kind of think it should be. So like, I have a business account and a personal bank account. I know how much I need to make personally a year. And I pay myself a set salary every single month, whether I make more or make less. Like, I always pay myself the same amount because I'm like, the more I take out of my company, the more I have to pay taxes on. I don't want my government to have my money. So I'm going to pay myself as little as possible. And the money left over, the profits, I typically just put into a corporate savings account because I just want to keep that money making money. And then I only have to pay corporate taxes on it. I don't have to pay corporate and personal taxes on it. I don't have to pay capital gains taxes on it if I leave it in there. So most of the time with my profits, I just save the money. I just put it into my investment funds through my corporation. My corporation has way more investments than I do personally because I don't pay myself enough to invest a whole, like I have a little bit, but I still keep all the money in my company because then I get taxed less on that money. And I definitely take into account, okay, what do I need? Like, do I need this laptop? If the laptop is literally on fire, which has almost happened, like the laptop that I just replaced was getting so hot, it kind of smelled like burning, but it wasn't burning. The screen was
It smells like burning.
The screen was also cracked through about 2 inches on the right-hand side. It takes so much for me to replace a piece of hardware, a computer, because they're expensive. Like, I don't want to have to keep buying computers. So I was trying to think about that. How much can I save if I don't put this money into something? And I think the other thing that I think we should probably bring up and talk about is debts.
Yes.
Because I think that that's pretty common nowadays to have some kind of consumer or otherwise debt or student debt.
Right. Yeah. I think that with debt, it's hard. I think debt and paying down your debt needs to be a priority because it really eats away at your ability to save and to have profits. Because if you're constantly paying down something, one, you have interest that's making that process take longer. And two, it's hard to save when you are constantly sending money out the door. So making debt pay down a priority helps you get to a better place more quickly, I guess, to where you can start thinking about profits and excess and what you're going to do with leftover money.
Yeah. So I think that it doesn't always make sense to pay off debt quickly from a financial numbers point of view. And I'll talk about that in a second. But I think from a stress point of view, at least for myself, the less debt I have, the less stressed out I am. Mm-hmm. Even car debt, like not many people pay cash for cars. I won't buy a car unless I have the money in my bank to buy it completely. I'm just weird that way because like I don't like debt.
Same here.
Yeah. And it's stressful to me and it's not stressful to everybody. And if you're not stressed out by that, that's probably a better way to be honest. But I think that sometimes the stress of debt makes it into something that needs to be dealt with. And I've even talked to my financial advisor about this, how sometimes it doesn't make financial sense to pay off debt as fast as I do, but it makes mental sense because I don't want to be stressed out by it. And what I mean by doesn't always make financial sense to pay off debt as quickly as possible is sometimes you can be in a situation where the interest on your debt is lower than the interest of your savings if you have savings, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm making 9% interest on my investments and my debt is 2.44%, then it makes sense to pay it off at the minimum payments because I'm going to end up with more money. It's just like the only reason that I've come to terms with having a bit of a mortgage is because my interest rate on my mortgage is 2.44%.
Yeah.
And I know I make more than that on my investments, so I'm okay with having that debt. And this has happened to me, this is like getting super nerdy specific, but it's happened to me before where it's ended up biting me in the ass to pay off a debt quickly because I had the money in my business to pay off a debt. So I paid myself the money to pay off the debt, and then I paid off the debt. But then the problem was that I got taxed on that extra money that I took out of my business because it put me into personally a higher tax bracket.
Ew.
So I ended up paying more to pay off the debt than I would have if I had just made the like monthly payments at the 4 or 5% interest that it was because it put me into a higher tax bracket. And that's why I pay myself as little as possible from my company to me personally. Because I want to end up with the most amount of money and I want my government to end up with the least amount of my money.
Right.
And like, I talk to my accountant. If I have an issue, I'm going to call him up. I'm going to talk to him on the phone or I'm going to send him an email. Because I feel like a lot of times people feel like, oh, I don't want to bother my lawyer or my accountant, or maybe they'll charge me like a ton of money to talk to them. And for me, it's like, First, I talk to them, like, what do you charge for questions that I have? How many questions are too many questions if you don't charge for it, which neither of mine do. It's baked into their fee. And so I don't feel bad. They're there to work for me. Mm-hmm. They obviously have other clients, but I call my lawyer, my corporate lawyer and my accountant probably 3-4 times a year. I always feel like I've got the weirdest question. Looking at, like, I bought temporary rat tattoos as a business expense last week. And I know my accountant is going to be looking through, like, reconciling my books at the end of the year and being like, temporary rat tattoos, Paul. What? That's part of my business. One, I like having a business that I can legitimately expense temporary tattoos that are rats. And two, that's just part of having an accountant and having a business is expenses and having questions about that. So I never feel bad about asking those questions to them. And even the money people that I work with, I ask them questions all the time because I want to maximize the little money that I have that I can invest. I want to get the most juice out of it, right? So I want to have the most bang for my buck at the end of the day. And whenever I retire, I don't know when that is because I don't know what that looks like. But like when I'm older than I am now, I want to have the most money possible from the money that I've saved. So I ask questions all the time. I'm probably super annoying, but I don't actually care.
Yeah. And that's the value of having those people that you can turn to with those questions. You're not kind of feeling around in the dark or Googling for hours on end trying to find the answer to your very specific question. You have somebody who knows your business and who can give you a legitimate answer based on like knowing the actual rules and regulations that you have to follow.
Exactly. Or just interpreting letters you get from the government. I feel like they're in English, but they're in an English that I don't know.
Oh, yes.
I take a picture of them and forward them to my accountant. Interpret this for me. Exactly. There's no Google Translate for government to normal English yet. Google, if you're listening, which I know you're listening.
Help us out, please.
What else did you want to add about freelancers and profits?
I think that's it. I think you really just have to have honest conversations about what's going to help move your business forward, what makes the most sense. Get a financial advisor, get an accountant who you can come to with questions and prioritize based on what's going to be the most beneficial for you in the long run. Do you have anything else?
I think the only other thing I would say is, because we were talking about thinking about each expense and whether it's worth it or not, I think that there's a fine line between being super judgy about everything you spend money on, which I don't think is healthy, and noticing what you're spending money on and noticing whether it's going to positively or negatively affect your business. A good example of that is like my yoga pass is $200, which I never feel guilty about because I know yoga makes me feel a lot better and it makes me be able to work better when I'm working. But like when I'm looking at like, oh, maybe I could get an Apple Watch for tracking my health activity, I'm like, I don't think my habits are going to change. I'm still going to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to do yoga. I'm still going to do all the exercise that I do. So like, I probably don't want to buy that. And the other thing is I usually put buying things off for a couple of weeks. I don't want to ever buy anything on impulse. Mm-hmm. So like, if I still want something in a month and I still think it's useful and it's something that I need versus just something I want in a month, then I'm like, okay, that's fine. I've thought about it for a long enough amount of time. I've annoyed my wife talking about it for a long enough amount of time. I'm either going to buy it or I'm not going to buy it. And that's it. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast.
If you enjoyed it, please take a second to leave a review over on iTunes.
And be sure to check out our course, The Creative Class.
You can find it at creativeclass.co, which is creativeclass.co.
Ooh.